around us everywhere. And it's to the point where we probably, you along with me, hesitate to even look at any news because of just mass hysteria and uncertainty and worry that's all around us. But we know that we have reason to have faith and trust. And even though our tendency probably is to be anxious, we know that people are weighed down with worry and fear now as probably never before, or at least not very often. And it comes close to us too, each one of us, that we can become anxious. And there's so many things that have changed that are uncertain. We know that schools are closed, churches are closed as a whole. Travel is banned, basically. Store shelves are empty of essential things. Try to buy flour, or at least for sure yeast. Basically impossible to find a lot of those things. Things that we would have never, 3 months ago, wouldn't have thought these are normal everyday things that we don't even think about or have changed. We wouldn't have thought about not gathering together in churches on Sunday morning. And then also the question of work. So many people are out of work. The question and the fears are, will anything ever be stable again? We know that probably won't be the same as it was. And probably many people have lost money. If we've had any money in pension funds at all, we've probably lost thousands already by this time. We don't really see the end in sight of that decline. Another thing that has changed is criminals are freed from prison because of fears of disease spreading. And we could go on and on. The list is endless. All the fears and uncertainty we face, even going to a hardware store, we're treated like criminals, basically, told where we can enter and where we need to exit, how much space. And the evil eye is cast at us if we maybe didn't use some sanitizer on an item we put back on a shelf, or just so many things that cause fear and uncertainty. People are fined for taking children along to a grocery store, and we wonder where this will end. Like, you know, that obviously there will be more control of government from this time on, and what is going to be the future for the Christian church. We know that these things cause us to doubt, cause us to tremble and fear maybe, but you know, this isn't the first time that society, or that our reality has changed, Christians' reality has changed in a hurry. I was just thinking back to last Sunday, we celebrated Easter. Thinking back to that original day, that time, when the disciples had been so used to following Jesus, listening to the words of Jesus, hearing him teach and preach, and not just the disciples either, but all his acquaintances there, the women. And now suddenly they had a new reality. Jesus had died, and of course that was an upheaval, but even after he rose from the dead, there was a whole new era that they needed to adjust to their commissioning. They had to adjust to following him and leaning on him, to being the ones that were not called to lead. And same way for probably us as husbands and fathers, we also have a new responsibility to lead maybe in different ways that we hadn't to this point. You can turn with me if you want to a few verses. You don't need to if you don't want to. Just to look at how the situation that they faced after this. First one is Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. This is the Great Commission. It's often called in Matthew here. Just read these verses here. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So here we have the disciples being commissioned, being told to go, but they wouldn't have Jesus' physical presence walking there before them, multiplying the loaves and the fishes with them. Now it was their responsibility to figure out how to do this. And I think we also have kind of that same thought. Now we have to figure out a new reality in so many things that we need to be creative in our keeping our church life alive and vital for ourselves and for our families. Next one is in Mark, parallel passage basically, but Mark 16 verses 14 to 20. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So that after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. And then also in Acts 1 verse 11, just read one verse here. Acts 1, verse 11. Actually, read verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So we have the beginning of the church here, the early church, and the changes that they were facing. We know that the early church was also familiar with plagues and epidemics and mass hysteria. I think that is one of the reasons why Apostle John in First John chapter 5 draws the believer's attention to five things that are certain, that we can trust in uncertain and unsettling times. You can turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. I will read verses 13 to 20. We'll see here five things that can't be denied and that will never change. 1 John 5 verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. If any man see his brother's sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall be given him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him, that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. And so the first truth that we have here, or the first certainty, is our promise. This promise that we have is a promise that will never change, will never fall, will never be undone. We could say it this way: I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. As believers in Jesus Christ, we know that we have eternal life. We can know that. God gives eternal life to everyone who believes in Jesus. That's a promise that we have of God, and we can count on this promise. There are many promises that God makes, and unlike us, maybe we so many times make promises and then we sometimes might have a difficult time keeping them. But God, when he makes his promises, they are sure and steadfast. Here are a few more verses that assure us of our eternal life. We'll read, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." John 3, verse 36. Very plain, very clear, very easy to understand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's a promise. Also in John 5, verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." This time when we hear so much about death, physical death, we can trust in this promise that if we hear his word and believe on him, on Jesus Christ, we who were dead in sin before, we can have this eternal life, a life that will never be cut off, will never end. Also, another verse, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." That's John 6, verse 47. Basically the same as John 3, verse 36, but it's a promise that we have this everlasting life available to us. Also Romans 6, verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I have two promises there, that if we sin, there will be death, spiritual death, eternal death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, if we accept him as our Lord. We know that this life is, our lives that we live are full of disappointments, full of letdowns, empty promises. But eternal life with Jesus won't be one of them. Won't be a disappointment. That will be as sure as anything we can ever imagine. Jesus knows what he's talking about because he has been there. He ascended into the grave. He was numbered among the dead. His body was wrapped in the cloth, as we saw last Sunday. It was sealed. The tomb was sealed, but he miraculously rose again and has ascended to our future abode. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It's 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. So in this time of confusion, fear, uncertainty, we can rest in God's promise of eternal life. The The second promise we have, or certainty that we have, that we can trust in, is that our prayers can be heard and will be answered. God hears our prayers and he answers our prayers. And now more than ever, more than any other time, I think Christians should be praying. And we have a lot to pray about, a lot to pray for. Could be an endless list, but, you know, pray for medical personnel, people that are dealing with all the death that is going on, especially in the big cities, big centers, other places where many people are dying. We need to pray for them, especially pray for them that they will see God through this and be able to somehow, that God would be glorified in all these workings. We also need to pray for governments and political leaders. Now more than ever, we see the need for that, that they would somehow, God would overrule in the new laws that will be coming, the new decisions that will be needed to be made. We also need to pray for those that are suffering and those who have lost loved ones. And that's not just in relation to this current virus, but all those that we know that are suffering, whether it's cancer or we had so many news of people that we might have known or that are suffering. Suffering is something that is going on around us every day. Many of us have lost loved ones. And we need to continue to pray for those that are dealing with this at this present time. We need to be praying for each other, for believers that are facing life without close fellowship. That would be us. You know, this is the time that Satan can really make hay if we're not strong and if we're not zealous in our prayer. We need to choose prayer over criticism. I think that's one challenge for myself, especially. I was going to say we need to choose prayer over panic, but probably us as Christian people probably aren't as susceptible to panic because we have a hope in Christ Jesus. But I think my challenge is to be busy in prayer over criticism. We can, so many things that we can become frustrated in, and rather than to just pass that on to others, we need to go to our closet and pray. That's the only way that we can really help the situation. When we pray, we know that God hears us, although we don't always maybe get the answer that we were looking for. There are many different answers when we pray. Sometimes the answer is no. If our request is wrong, God will say no, and he'll close doors. Sometimes the answer might be not yet or not now. Maybe what we're praying for isn't necessarily wrong in itself, but might be wrong in this present time. We need to have the patience to and the discernment to be able to accept that, take that. Sometimes the answer might be you need to grow a little more. Our request might not be well thought out, or might not be for us to fulfill. Remember the story of David praying, or he was desiring that he would build the temple. He thought it was his job, his responsibility. And God had to quite clearly tell him that it would be Solomon, his son, that would be building the temple, not David. And then as David saw that, recognized he was big enough to accept that. And then sometimes our answer is to go. And to our chagrin, sometimes maybe when we pray for something and the answer is go, are we maybe a little hesitant sometimes to actually go for it then? We know, we have this in these verses here. If we ask anything according to his will, we have the request which we have asked from him. We need to pray in line with God's will, and then we can pray in confidence. Just see these verses here, verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. You know, the key point here is that we need to ask according to his will. I'll just read a quote here that I came across. Prayer is not about getting my will done in heaven. It's getting God's will done on earth. And far too many times when we pray, we have that switched around. We're trying to get our will done in heaven. If we can get God on board with our idea, that's where the blessing will be, we think. But according to these verses, we know that. We already know that. But it's about getting God's will done on earth. God always says yes when our requests are in line with his desires. To pray effectively, we need to find God's will. And to do that, we need to read his word. Yes. If you're like me, so many times we wish we knew what God's will was more, but then we slack off when we could be looking for his will in the word. And we say, oh yeah, he doesn't speak to every specific thing in our present day society, the challenges we face. But I think we probably would surprise ourselves how many times we can find his will, his answer for our everyday things, at least the way his mind works, the way he wants us to face decisions and challenges, if we would spend more time in his word. We need to make his prayers our own prayers, and his prayers can be found in his word. Another certainty we have is our protector. We know that Jesus Christ is our protector. We have this in verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. Our last phrase there, the wicked one toucheth him not. Isn't that a promise we want to claim? Now, we know that John here in this passage isn't saying that we'll never sin. We know that we are all prone to fall at times. But rather it's saying that as a Christian, we have a protector that is able to keep us safe. He is the strongest one. He is the powerful one. The Son of God protects them. And again, John isn't saying that Jesus will always protect us from physical harm or illness or financial ruin, relationship problems. Rather, he's saying that Jesus protects us from spiritual harm, from the evil one. The Word of God tells us that we have an enemy, an adversary called Satan, that spends his time and his energy. We can't even fathom how much energy he's spending to try to cause us to fall. And of our own strength, we are no match. But through Jesus, through our protector, we can be victorious. We know that Satan first appeared in the form of a serpent in the Garden of Eden, where he repeatedly tempted Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit. He convinced her to break this one and only rule that God gave by making this fruit look attractive and tempting. And that's what Satan does to us today. He uses every means at his disposal to lure believers into sin in the hope of sabotaging our salvation. And I think he's using these present circumstances we face to do that. I just trust that we'll avail ourselves of our protector, of his power, of Jesus' power. You know, young people, when you're out there by yourself and seem like there might not be much accountability, are you availing yourself of the power of Jesus to be strong? You know, that's all. The power is available to each one. Doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian. And the power of Satan is as probably more strong than it ever has been. And so it requires us to avail ourselves of the power of our protector. Sometimes we might fall to Satan's schemes, but John is telling us that Jesus is bigger and more powerful than Satan, and he has our backs. Let's throw ourselves into his power. We could have the faith that Christ knows what we are facing in every moment, whether or not we are isolated and in lockdown and wherever we might be. Christ knows the challenges that we face, and that power is immediately there available for us. Whatever temptations, trials, or tests we face, we know that Jesus is looking out for us and eager to help us overcome. The ultimate victory will be ours if we are in Christ Jesus. Number four, a certainty that we have is to know our place. Verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We are of God. We are the children of God. You hold a precious position in God's eternal family. The whole Bible, excuse me, the whole Bible is a story of God building a family who would love him, honor him, and reign with him forever. Ephesians 1 verse 5, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. He made this family available to us. We have a choice of whether we want to be part of this family or not. It's not that we don't have a choice, but if we choose that, we can be part of this family. When we say yes to this adoption, We become one of this family. We have our name written in that family. You know, we've often probably seen family trees in books or whatever, and we can trace this back, and we see maybe somebody had the same name as us in this tree, and that person's name is in that lineage. It's in that, but we can have that same kind of, or even more real, position, place in this family of God. When we place our faith in Jesus, God becomes our Father, we become his children, other believers become our brothers and sisters, and the church becomes our spiritual family. Christians aren't just called to believe, they're also called to belong. I think that's a desire each one of us has in our hearts, isn't it, is to belong somewhere. We weren't meant to live our lives by ourselves. We were created for communion and community. We know this. That's why it's so difficult for us as Christians when we have this distancing placed upon us. It's diabolically opposed to what Christians are called to do, meant to do. We're called to gather together. Bible says Christians are put together, called to be joined together. We're called to build together. We're supposed to be members together, heirs together, fitted together, held together, and we will be caught up together. It's all about being together. And we can do that. I mean, we do that with the technology that we have available to us. We can build each other up. We can be heirs together. We can continue to grow together. But we all realize the reality of the challenges that this places on us if we can't actually gather together and do this as we normally do. In the circumstances we find ourselves in presently, we might find ourselves feeling more lonely and cut off from others than, and that in turn, the challenge is for us then to find our place in the family of God by studying His Word and maybe making that extra effort to contact someone by phone, maybe send someone an email that we wouldn't normally touch, reach out to, and even the people that we do come in contact with. You probably with me have noticed that there is a bit of, at least there's both sides of that. We are faced with suspicion maybe, but people in general are also maybe a little more friendly and a little more open. And they face the fears of the unknown. Let's take that opportunity to show them the place that is available in God's family. This place that we can count on, the certainty of our being part of God's family, where we are never alone. We know that earthly families are fragile and temporary. There will always be fragmentation in families, our earthly families. But our spiritual family, on the other hand, our relationship with other believers will continue throughout eternity. And then the last one, certainty that we have, is our Prince. Verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The word translated true here means the original as opposed to a copy. Or we could say the authentic as opposed to an imitation. Jesus is the true light. He's the true bread. He's the true vine. And He is truth itself. He is the original. Everything else is a copy. He is authentic. Everything else is only an imitation. We know that long ago, even before, ages before Jesus was even on this earth, we have this promise in Isaiah 9, verse 6. It said, "For unto us," this is a prophecy, "for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." This Jesus Christ, who is our brother, who is our Savior, is this Prince of Peace. There's certainty that we can trust in. We know that Jesus came and died for our sins, and as we know Him, as we live for Him, yield ourselves to Him, we can have a current vital relationship with Him, and we can experience the peace that surpasses all understanding, even in the midst of this global pandemic. We may live in uncertain times, but this chapter that we looked at here, this last half of this chapter, has given us some truths that have stood the test of time and that will continue to stand throughout the rest of time and into eternity. We can be certain that we can be certain about this promise. We can be certain that our prayers will be answered. We can be certain that we have a protector. We can be certain that we have this place in the family of God, and we can be certain that our Prince will continue to reign. So if you're feeling overwhelmed or worried, fearful, uncertain, remember these five certainties. Number one, that you can know that you have eternal life. That's a certainty. Number two, you can know that your prayers are heard by God. And if we desire to find God's will and pray according to his will, those prayers will be answered. Number three, you can know that you have been vaccinated against sin and Satan. We have a protector. We have protection. Number four, you can know that you are a child of God. You can know this place. You can have a certainty in this lineage. And number five, you can know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the Savior of your soul. Thank you for your attention. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, the Prince of Peace, Son of God, our brother, we just pray that you would be with each one this morning as we have looked into your word, and just help us to trust in you. We realize there's so much chaos and confusion and fear and uncertainty around us, but let's just be able to continue to trust that as we look into your word, that there's so many truths that we can be strengthened from. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to ever come to these promises that you have given to us. Time and again, we need to be reminded of these promises. We can be so tempted to complain and criticize and maybe tear down rather than build each other up. Just pray that you would help us to be encouraged. Help us also to encourage those around us, those that we maybe speak to in these times that are fearful, are uncertain. Help us to be able to give the word of courage, give the word of promise. Help us to just go on throughout our lives, whatever remaining time we have on this earth, that we can be those that are showing your power and your strength to the lost and dying world around us. Pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother George, for those encouraging and powerful words. I needed that encouragement. You think about, especially that thought he shared about that when we pray in faith, it is not to have our will done in heaven, but that God's will be done on earth. And sometimes in those various situations, it's hard to surrender to that. I thought of the verse that we often quote, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's an easy verse to memorize. We could all probably say it by memory. But you think about situations in life that are unpleasant, unplanned, and not of our choosing. And yet this verse says that for the child of God, all things work together for good. But then, of course, we're going to have to allow that to happen in our lives and submit ourselves to the will of God. We don't understand all of this present time, but God knows. God was not taken by surprise with this. And so let's continue to respond in faith and surrender and encouragement and continue to pray for each other. As far as announcements,